Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Texas Pacific Land Corp expands with $286 million acquisition. Texas Pacific Land Corp is continuing its growth strategy, making its third acquisitions of minerals and royalty interests this year. This most recent acquisition is focused on the Midland Basin, comprised of approximately 7,490 net royalty acres, primarily in Martin, Midland, and other counties. Over 80% of the interests being acquired are adjacent to or overlap existing Texas Pacific acreage. The cost was $286 million in cash. Quote, "This is portfolio diversification," end quote, said Lawrence Lebanowski, vice president of mergers and acquisitions at the company. Quote, "We see opportunities, not just in the Delaware Basin, where we have a large portfolio, but in the Midland Basin as well. This acquisition gives us balance between both basin," end quote. The new assets are also under what he called top operators like ExxonMobil and Diamondback Energy, which together operate about 66% of the acreage. The acquired assets have current production of approximately 1,300 barrels of oil equivalent per day, 78% liquids. It also gives Texas Pacific, quote, "a clear line of sight," end quote, to the development plans and capital expenditure plans of the operators it works with, Lebanowski said. Brandon Boyd, vice president of corporate strategy, noted that there are more drilling rigs in the New Mexico side of the Delaware Basin, and the company has historically had more interest in the Texas side of the Delaware. Quote, "That's why we're looking at diversification," end quote, Boyd said. "What's interesting is that there is more activity in different counties in the Midland Basin," Boyd said. Lebanowski said the company is always open to acquisition opportunities, but also looks to grow organically. The company's Texas Pacific Water Resources, for example, has achieved incredible growth with its work sourcing water for sale and treating water on its acreage. Quote, "Water is a real differentiator for us, not just minerals," end quote, Lebanowski said. Lebanowski sees the next phase of growth for the company having multiple legs. Quote, "Texas Pacific has multiple long-lived high-margin revenue streams across oil and gas royalties, source water sales, produced water royalties, and other revenue generated from our ownership of surface. Each of these revenue streams are underpinned by a clear line of sight to near and longer-term value creation for our company as we enter the next chapter of growth," end quote, he said. Clean energy faces new obstacles. The fate of the booming renewable energy industry in Texas during President-elect Donald Trump's second term depends largely on how his administration treats President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. Roughly $154 billion in clean energy investments have been announced since passage of the IRA in 2022, with about 80% targeted for Republican districts. That includes $4.5 billion of announced investment and more than 22,000 announced jobs in Texas, according to data from Utah State University and research firm Atlas Public Policy. As a result, most experts don't expect a complete repeal of the monumental climate bill. Still, modifications are possible, and Texas could be among the most impacted, given that it not only has the most renewable resources in the country, but also a huge pipeline of pending clean energy projects. Passage of the Inflation Reduction Act in 2022 supercharged the build-out of clean energy across the country, providing tax credits and other incentives as part of the Biden administration's effort to fight climate change. Trump has vowed to, quote, "rescind all unspent funds," end quote, under the bill. Project 2025, a conservative policy playbook Trump has repeatedly disavowed, but was created by some of his allies, has called for a legislation fully repealing Inflation Reduction Act tax credits. Yet because so much money has flowed into conservative states, if Republicans modify the law, they would likely take a scalpel rather than a sledgehammer to it, said Mahip Mondloy, director of clean energy equity research at the investment firm Mizuho Securities, citing 18 House Republicans who wrote a letter to Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican Louisiana, in August urging him to maintain some of the IRA. Joseph Asha, an analyst at the investment firm Guggenheim Partners, focused on renewables, said he'll be watching how Republicans do the math to extend Trump's 2017 tax law, much of which is due to expire next year. If Republicans want to claim victory on tax cuts more than they want to take credit for the IRA's investments and jobs, the Biden administration's bonus tax credits for clean energy development could be on the chopping block, including those tied to sourcing materials from domestic manufacturers and investing in communities whose economics depended on fossil fuels. Quote, that's not to say that all solar would suddenly grind to a halt if they went away, but it certainly would reset the business to where it was, end quote, OSHA said. Texas impacts. In the, quote, unlikely, end quote, event, the IRA is dialed back significantly, the total capacity of renewables added to the grid nationally could fall by almost 30% through 2033, compared to if the bill remained unchanged, according to modeling from energy research firm Wood Mackenzie. Texas, which accounts for approximately one-third of expected new solar farms nationwide, could see the largest drop in solar additions of any state in that scenario, said David Brown, Wood Mackenzie's energy transition director. Brown said he still expected the volume of renewable projects to increase because solar and wind resources can maintain cost advantages without subsidies and the ongoing demand for cleaner energy from sectors such as big tech. Quote, we don't think the sky is falling in terms of low carbon supply, end quote, Brown said. Quote, the trajectory, in some cases, could be lower than what a Biden or a Harris administration would mean, end quote. Jeff Clark, CEO of Advanced Power Alliance, a clean energy trade association, said companies would continue to invest to meet fast-growing demand for electricity in Texas and nationwide. He cited the needs of electric vehicles, increased domestic manufacturing, and power-hungry data centers necessary in the artificial intelligence race. Quote, we're about to see such an incredible increase in demand for energy in this country that we're past the days of picking and choosing. It's now time to build more of everything, end quote, Clark said. Mark Stover, executive director of the Texas Solar Power Association, also credited demand growth as one reason those technologies would continue to grow in the coming years in Texas, quote, just as they did during the first Trump administration, end quote. Shares of some renewable companies tanked after Trump's victory became clear and have since rebounded to varying extents. That included Houston-based residential solar giant Sunnova Energy, which has seen its stock price drop 47% in the past five trading days. Sunnova CEO John Berger said in an email that he is a lifelong Republican who believes there is strong bipartisan support for the Inflation Reduction Act. He noted that Congress under Trump reauthorized pre-existing tax credits for solar and wind in 2020. Both Trump and then-Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell initially opposed those extensions. Quote, over the last 12 years, across multiple administrations, Sunnova has grown to serve over 400,000 customers. During President Trump's first term, we saw some of our strongest growth, end quote, Berger wrote. One company looking for change is Sirius PV, the U.S. subsidiary of Elen Energy, a Turkey-based solar panel manufacturer. Sirius PV CEO Erkin Kalafat said the company's solar panel factory west of Houston hasn't reached full capacity since it opened in April, partly because of the Biden administration's policies, quote, which, despite intending to support American manufacturing, have always left loopholes allowing foreign manufactured modules to continue entering the U.S. market at unprecedented volumes, end quote, Kalafat wrote in an email. Quote, we're hopeful that the Trump administration will adopt a stronger stance in favor of local manufacturers, which we believe would significantly aid and accelerate our ramp-up efforts, end quote, he said. Community. From Midland College to United Way, Hunter Haney's path to a nonprofit's career. Midland native Hunter Haney grew up in the nonprofit world. His mother, Kathleen Kerwan Haney, also works in the Permian Basin nonprofit sector and is now executive director of Senior Life Midland. So in the summer of 2023, when Hunter had the opportunity to join United Way Midland as its community engagement coordinator, he said it felt like a, quote, natural fit, end quote. Quote, Midland is home, and working for United Way allows me to work with and help people in my hometown in order to make the community a better place to live, work, and play, end quote, Haney said. Haney is a product of Midland ISD. He attended Fannin Elementary School, San Jacinto Junior High, and graduated from Midland High School in 2017. During high school, he was a defensive tackle on the Bulldogs football team. Quote, when I graduated from high school, I didn't want to go to college, but my mom told me to go to Midland College for one semester to give it a try, end quote, he said. Quote, I really just enrolled to placate my mom. I never thought I would continue taking courses at MC for 2 years and then transfer to Texas Tech. Midland College built my confidence, and I not only learned study skills, but also gain some common sense. I liked the environment and discovered that I had potential to go to college and earn a degree, end quote. In fall of 2019, Haney transferred to Texas Tech University, and in May 2022, he graduated with a bachelor's degree in public relations and strategic communications management. Quote, the whole transformation to becoming a good college student didn't just happen overnight. I had to study hard and really concentrate on my college courses, end quote, he said. A month after graduating from Texas Tech, Haney said his life came full circle when Midland College hired him as an admissions advisor. Quote, as an admissions advisor, I was able to help students who were like me, those who felt like they weren't college material, end quote, he explained. Quote, my advice to incoming college students then and now is get started whether you take one class or five.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 18th. New council will be sworn in Tuesday. The story was written by Kim Smith. It's been a wild couple of weeks following an election sweep locally. Incumbent Mayor Javier Hoven and council members Denise Swanner and Mark Mata were shown the door by voters. Mayor-elect Cal Hendrick and councilman-elect Craig Stoker and Eddie Mitchell will be sworn in during a public ceremony at 4 p.m. Tuesday at the Ector Theater. The current council will meet one last time Monday at 3 p.m. to certify the election. Monday's agenda is a simple one, unlike Tuesday's meeting where ousted council members sought to pay out more than $700,000 to Odessa city manager, who resigned during the meeting. Ector County District Court Judge Lori Ruiz Crutcher signed a temporary restraining order Wednesday morning, preventing the city from paying out the contracts of City Attorney Dan Jones, former City Manager John Beckmeyer, City Secretary Norma Aguilar, or Deputy City Manager Gabby Brunel. The TRO does not prohibit the city from firing them. On Tuesday night, Beckmeyer resigned, and Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan rushed to court to file for the TRO and to ask a judge to determine if Beckmeyer, Jones, Aguilar, and Bernal's contracts are even legal. Each of the three-year contracts, issued in April, state the foursome should be paid the remainder of their contracts should they leave before April 2027, whether they're fired or quit on their own. City residents also learned recently that Bernal is being investigated internally for possible wrongdoing, and Gallivan has been asked to request a Texas Rangers investigation into former Equipment Services Director Chris Adams and his use of a city-issued purchase card. Beckmeyer fired Adams on Monday, and it came out that Adams had filed a grievance with the city on October 14th, alleging Bernal forced him to award a tire contract to Forrest Brothers and to reduce the value of vehicles later donated to Odessa's sister city in Mexico. Quote, Agapito has created a hostile work environment for myself and my employees. He is a bully and a cancer. He relies on the people he placed in key positions as interim city manager to help maintain control over employees and the city, Adams wrote in his grievance letter. I and my employees currently feel our jobs are threatened. Many city employees are afraid to come forward against Agapito as they know that they will retaliate against them, end quote. An open records request filed by the Odessa American on October 9th requesting all human resource complaints filed against Bernal is still pending. Jones sent a letter to the Texas Attorney General's office arguing that the release of the documents could impede any investigations into his actions. Jennifer Rainier, Public Information Coordinator for the City of Odessa, said human resources indicated Adams did not file any complaints. Back to the Golden Parachutes. Jones told the Odessa American that it was Hovind's idea for the 3-year contracts and even said Beckmeyer's contract is worthless. He said that during the April meeting where the contracts were approved, Swanner didn't use the word contract when discussing Beckmeyer's contract. Beckmeyer's annual salary was $250,000. Jones's is $215,000, and Aguilar's is $135,000. Bernal's annual salary is $208,000. Jones also wrote an email at 1:44 a.m. Wednesday telling Bernal that although the city council had voted 5-1 to name Bernal interim city manager Tuesday night, Bernal could not perform any actions as such until he accepted the position. He also instructed Bernal not to pay out Beckmeyer's contract. Bernal eventually turned down the promotion. Hovind denied being behind the contracts and instead said they were Jones's idea. After the contracts were approved, city council members Steve Thompson and Gilbert Vasquez said no one, including Jones, had told them they were approving new contracts. They thought they were only approving pay raises. Hendrick, Stoker, Mitchell, and Thompson, who was re-elected by voters November 5th, were originally scheduled to be sworn in November 26th, but they moved it up on Tuesday. Once sworn in, Hendrick said he intends to ask the council to review all of the former council's recent decisions. He also wants to look into Adams' allegations. Hendrick said he questions why the city would donate vehicles to a city in Mexico rather than to another city in West Texas. Quote, "You know, there are some cities that are probably not as wealthy as ours," Hendrick said. Since the election, Hendrick said he has received numerous phone calls from city employees lodging complaints, including one so serious he referred the woman to Gallivan. On Friday, misdemeanor warrants were issued for Parks and Recreation Director Max Reyes for official oppression and indecent assault for an alleged incident involving a woman who had hoped to transfer to the Parks and Recreation Department. Rumors on Thursday swirled that the current council would use the final Monday meeting to fire Jones after he did not move fast enough Wednesday to pay out Beckmeyer, who is a friend and political ally of Swanner, Hovind, and Mata. But the agenda does not note any personnel issues. Thompson has been at odds with the trio since they took over the majority control of the council 2 years ago, and on Thursday night, he said he believes Hovind, Mata, and Swanner are using Jones as a scapegoat. Quote, "I believe Dan is a good guy, a good person. I'm not sure he has all of the experience he needs to be a city attorney. However, that said, he works hard and he tells the truth as far as I know. And before I'd want to replace him, I'd give him some time and let the new council evaluate his performance," Thompson said. Mitchell said he has no interest in rehiring Jones if he is fired. Quote, "I don't want to rehire anybody that had anything to do with what we just had," Mitchell said. "If you were already in the system and was doing bad, then you're going to keep doing bad. So I don't have a vote for anybody that's got one of them contracts," end quote. Stoker isn't interested in saving Jones' job either. Quote, "I don't think he's displayed much competence as a city attorney, and he certainly has not protected his charters as he works for all city council members," Stoker said. Jones allowed Vasquez and Thompson to sign the 3-year contracts, Stoker said. Jones also didn't object when the council allowed Beckmeyer to sign a contract with the Texas Government Accountability Association, a nonprofit group that promised to help the city in its efforts to be transparent and ethical by creating policies and procedures, Stoker said. The open-ended agreement is $24,000 a year for years 2-5 and can increase at that time. In addition, it can only be ended if it's placed on a ballot and residents vote to do so. What happened with Beckmeyer almost walking away with $700,000, quote, highlights the shadiness and backstabbing nature of Swanner, Hoven, and Mata. These are not the actions that rational, ethical people take. The citizens of Odessa spoke November 5th and said, we are tired of this. We are ready for competent people to be in the roles, and Mr. Jones was definitely on the list of people that I wanted to reevaluate, Stoker said. Residents also recently learned that Matt Cote, president of the Oil and Gas Workers Association, has filed a $25 million lawsuit against the city of Odessa, Beckmeyer, Swanner, and Hoven. According to Odessa Police Department records obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act, Swanner, former Ector County Republican Chairwoman Tisha Crow, and Medical Center Hospital Board member Wallace Dunn filed a report with the police department in November 2022, accusing Cote of harassing them at council meetings and on social media. Crow told police she saw a Ford F-250 in front of her residence on November 15, 2022, and when she ran the license plate using her insurance company computer, it came back to Cote. Crow and her husband Chris own a farmer's insurance branch. Police determined no crimes had been committed by Cote. Then last December, an unknown person texted OPD Police Chief Michael Gerke asking for someone to investigate a man for, quote, walking around in and out of houses in the Crow's neighborhood, and supplied the chief with Cote's license plate number. Cote said he was in Andrews at the time, and again, police determined Cote had committed no crimes. On March 21st, the Attorney General ordered the city to release the name of the texter, and it turned out to be Hoven, a political ally of Swanner, and, at that time, of the Crows. Cote and his former attorney, Bobby Bland, believed Hoven was guilty of abusing his powers as mayor and asked the Texas Rangers to investigate. They declined. In addition, the Texas Department of Insurance closed the investigation it launched into Tisha Crow without taking any action. Cote had filed a complaint against her, noting she told police she'd used her insurance company's computer to look up his license plate. Dunn filed a defamation lawsuit against Cote in August, and Cote is countersuing him. According to Hendrick and Thompson, the city of Odessa's insurance carrier is in the process of determining if its contract attorneys should defend the city, Beckmeyer, Hoven, and Swanner in the Cote lawsuit. If the insurance carrier opts not to defend them, the new city council and its lawyers will have to decide if the defendants were acting in the scope of their jobs and if they should be defended on the taxpayers' dime, Hendrick said. Leading the way, ECISD has first female frontline supervisors. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Sergeants Missy Butts, Laura Sheely, and Larissa Hernandez make up the first female command staff at the Ector County ISD Police Department. By communicating constantly, they are able to manage the day-to-day operations of the 56-officer department. A new addition to the force is a horse, and she's a girl too, and it's a shire horse, which is large. But who keeps the horse has to use a step stool to get on her. Quote, I think it's really awesome. It just happened that way that we work really well together. I felt like we brought a different perspective to the position, and we work well with our lieutenants, and they show us a lot of respect. They value our opinion. They listen to what we have to say. It's been great, Sheely said. Hernandez noted that they work in a male-dominated field, but this shows you can promote up and go further than you think. Sheely said the people they are recruiting can see this as a department that recognizes that they bring value to our line of work. She added that they are supported by their officers and they are shown respect. Quote, I don't think any of us have had any real issues as far as somebody not agreeing with or respecting the fact that we are a female in this position. That's been really good, Sheely said. Butts said there was a time when women had to prove themselves to be in law enforcement and survive in this area. Quote, but it's not that way anymore, and definitely not in this department, she added. They all get along with each other, which helps. Quote, there's a lot of communication that happens first thing in the morning as far as campus coverage, who called in sick, and what we need from each other, Hernandez said. We are all in the same boat. We've got to keep it flowing as smoothly as possible, end quote. Butts has been in law enforcement for 28 years, the last three with ECISD. She was with the Odessa Police Department previously. Sheely has been in law enforcement for 15 years, 11 with ECISD, and 4 with the Odessa Police Department. Hernandez has been in law enforcement for 12 years and was with the OPD for 10 years before joining the ECISD police. Butts had retired from OPD and was ready to take a different route in law enforcement. Quote, here I am, and I love it, she said. When she made the transition to ECISD, Sheely said her children were still small, and she was on nights most of the time. She heard about the position at ECISD Police coming open and decided for her family and children that it would be a good decision to move over. Hernandez's son also was young at the time, and she noted that patrol can be hard on young kids. The trio promoted in July 2022 to sergeant. Sheely said they supervise about 15 officers each, and each of them has 3 corporals, and the officers are split under them as well. They all work the same schedule. Hernandez said some officers are very receptive to the way they supervise, and others are not, but that would be true of any position, whether you're a male or female supervisor. The majority of the time, Sheely said, the officers respect them as people, and that translates to respect as a supervisor. Quote, you're going to have the officer respond individually to you, so I think it's more the rapport you build with them, Hernandez said. Butts said what she enjoys about being a supervisor is being able to give back the things she has learned. Sheely said she can now support officers in ways she felt like she needed when she was an officer. Quote, so hopefully it fills the gap between officers and command staff, end quote. Hernandez said seeing the officers grow and being able to provide them with the tools to do so, whether it's training or bringing things to the department like mounted patrol, has been gratifying. Butts has provided the first horse. Quote, we're offering more opportunities for our officers to get engaged and grow. That, for me, has been the best part of this, seeing the officers be everything they can be and growing, Hernandez said. Sheely said she's an administrative sergeant, so she's doing more at the police department. However, she tries to get out to campuses as much as possible. Butts and Hernandez are more on the patrol side, she added. Butts is on the east side of town, and Hernandez is in the west. Quote, we typically visit our campuses that we're over to see if the officers need anything, if the corporals need anything. Make sure they have all the equipment they need to do their job, Butts added. Butts said her colleagues had seen a mounted patrol, and Chief Jeff Daniels said he wanted one at some point, so she submitted a proposal and within a month they had one. It's been good for recruitment and community engagement. They also wanted to add things that would make the job more fun. Along with the mounted patrol, they now have an honor guard. They just recently started a bike patrol with e-bikes, which come in handy at major events and at the high schools. The bike patrol gives officers, especially at the high schools, a chance to get places faster and more safely. The bikes are equipped with lights and sirens. Sheely said the hope is that these features will attract and retain officers. Prospective officers have several options in the area. Quote, "We have to stay relevant. We can't offer the pay that some of the departments can, so it's the hope that giving them these things within our department will attract more officers and make them want to stay," Sheely added. ECISD police also have a hospitable schedule. Quote, "Retention is really not a problem with this department, and recruiting hasn't been recently," Butt said. Once you get to the ECISD police, it's easy to see why people don't leave, Sheely said. "It's a very family-oriented environment," she added. Butts said she and Hernandez have 5 elementary schools each, plus middle and high schools. Sheely has New Tech Odessa and the Odessa College campuses. She doesn't have middle schools, but she does have elementary campuses. She added that they are still hiring, but are very close to having an officer at every campus. Butts said the campuses love having their own officer. Hernandez said the officers build relationships with the whole campus and staff. Butts added that she loves watching the students grow up. Quote, "I see some now that were at Wilson and Young Middle School when I started, and they're now begging me not to leave until they graduate. You build a bond with them," Butts said. Sheely said they run into students who were at Ector Middle School when they started, who have now families of their own. "That's really cool to see," she added. Hernandez said, "If you're having a bad day, have a conversation with a 3-year-old. Quote, "It'll just make your day so much better. It really does. They just give so much positivity. I think working at the different age range of schools, like elementary, you're going to get a different response from them. They're going to be happy. They're going to be excited to see you," Hernandez said. "I think at middle school and high school, that's where a lot of relationship building is, because you're dealing with them every day and you're getting to know them, know their stories. You become a positive influence in their life, and it gives us the opportunity to show them that what you see on TV of police officers is not how it is every day," she added. When they have conversations with middle and high school students, some of whom may be struggling or getting into trouble, they respond positively to the officers the majority of the time. Quote, "It gives them a different perspective to law enforcement, and it gives us the opportunity to be positive toward them," Hernandez said. Adams fired from City of Odessa. The story was written by Kim Smith. Odessa's Equipment Services Director, Chris Adams, has been fired, and Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan has officially launched an investigation into the controversial figure. According to documents obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act, Adams was fired Tuesday by then-city manager John Beckmeyer. Quote, "Based on information discovered during an internal investigation, it is clear to me that you have violated city personnel policy through your unauthorized use of city funds," Beckmeyer wrote. "Given the severity of your misconduct, corrective disciplinary action is inappropriate in this manner," end quote. Documents also indicate Adams failed to attend his termination meeting with Beckmeyer and was asked to sign and mail Beckmeyer's termination order. Gallivan said Wednesday morning that if he believes there is enough evidence Adams committed a crime, he will ask the Texas Rangers to investigate further. Quote, "We'll look into the allegations and see if there's anything we need to go forward on," Gallivan said. "From what I've gotten so far, the city auditor's office did a pretty good job of reviewing a bunch of things," end quote. Last month, the Odessa American filed 2 open records requests with the city of Odessa after receiving tips that complaints had been filed against Assistant City Manager Agapito Bernal with Human Resources and that Adams had been misusing his government purchase card. The city fought the release of any documents, telling the Texas Attorney General's office it would interfere with the detection, investigation, or prosecution of crime. Quote, "The city has a legitimate interest in preserving the secrecy of its records from the eyes of defendants and their counsel in criminal actions," City Attorney Dan Jones wrote. He further stated the city's internal auditor is still investigating and, quote, "The city of Odessa will need to gather all evidence for the Texas Rangers, and the premature release of information may hinder their investigation," end quote. According to emails obtained by the Odessa American this week, the Texas Rangers told Jones they aren't investigating Adams, however, and suggested Jones approach Gallivan. As for Bernal, Jones said Monday he is being investigated for possible wrongdoing by an outside law firm. Earlier this year, Adams was named in a lawsuit filed in Ector County District Court against the city by Southern Tire Mart, which alleges Adams has hostile feelings toward the company, and as a result, the city has intentionally violated Texas law by purchasing tires from a competitor for the last year. The lawsuit alleges Adams falsely claimed STM double-billed the city by more than $180,000 and did not retract that statement despite being shown documents disproving it. Ector County Commissioner Don Stringer also emailed then-City Manager John Beckmeyer back in August that Adams was using a city-owned vehicle to drive back and forth to his home in Lubbock, thus violating a city policy. Emails obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act show Beckmeyer simply told Adams to stop using the vehicle to commute. Other documents the OA obtained also showed 4 of Adams' employees filed separate, unrelated complaints against him in October 2023, and none resulted in disciplinary actions being taken against him. Employees accused Adams of being disrespectful to employees and vendors, drinking at a city event and driving afterward, discussing matters of a sexual nature, being a cool club member within the city, and openly stating he was going to use his purchase card to pay for golf.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, November 16th, 2024. Religion. Paul's shipwreck on Malta teaches valuable truths. Reverends Pugh and Taylor say the story illustrates God's constant care. By Bob Campbell. The story in Acts chapter 27, verse 27 through chapter 28, verse 5 of the Apostle Paul's danger-fraught journey to Rome and his shipwreck on the island of Malta shows that God always helps his people through trouble. That's according to the Reverends Terry Pugh and Vonnie Taylor, who say Paul's being bitten on the hand by a viper that he shook off into a fire, experiencing no ill effect, is a fitting coda to the story's theme. The Reverend Pugh, pastor of the First United Pentecostal Church, said Paul warned a centurion on the ship that a big storm was coming, but he was disregarded. The bottom line is that regardless of the trouble you face or where it comes from, God has a plan to get you through it, the Reverend Pugh said. Paul wanted to talk to Caesar to see if he could change the ruler of Rome's mind about Christianity, because that would have changed everything. I think he was very likely tired of fooling with all the people who were causing him grief around Israel. Pugh said Paul and his 275 shipmates were only 430 miles from Rome when the ship wrecked. I went to Rome and saw the prison he was in, he said. It was not a pleasant place. Paul was martyred around 65 AD, at around the age of 60. The Reverend Taylor, pastor of Central Baptist Church, said the story reads like an adventure movie. It's like the life and times of Paul navigating life storms, the Reverend Taylor said. They stopped in Malta for 3 months, and Paul ended up being arrested in Rome, but he had been able to preach there. God uses trials and tribulations to cause us to put our faith in Him and rely on Him. He is still sovereign in our lives and in control of our circumstances. Our prayers will give us courage and confidence when we're faced with all these situations that we have to overcome. Noting that the Republic of Malta still considers Paul's sojourn there the most important event in its history, Taylor said, that's what God's grace and mercy does. It's life-changing. The Maltese people who saw Paul bitten by the viper initially said he must be a murderer because he was being punished after surviving the shipwreck. But then they declared him a god because he was unaffected. They were able to understand that he was just a messenger and God was directing his life, Taylor said. The epilogue is that Paul understood his place and purpose. He pointed to God the Father, not to himself. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, November 16th, 2024. Section A. ECISD Board to consider Superintendent Search Firm Contract. Approval of the Superintendent Search Firm Contract will be among the items the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees considers during their 6 p.m. meeting November 19th in the first floor boardroom at the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston. Superintendent Scott Murray announced his retirement in August, and Keeley Boyer, Chief of Schools, was named interim superintendent. The board hired the Texas Association of School Boards to conduct the search. A presentation of the agriculture farm design will be presented by Park Hill Architects. This is one of the projects financed by a $424 million bond approved by voters in November 2023. Other items include recognition of K-12 Elementary Educator of the Year, announcement of the United Way campaign top fundraisers, and introduction of culinary arts state qualifiers. Opening remarks by the superintendent. Public comment. A bond 2023 update. Discussion of and request for approval of bond 2023 purchases over $50,000. Discussion of and request for approval of purchases over $50,000. Discussion of and request for approval of 2024-25 budget amendment number 3. Discussion of and request for approval of the annual financial report. discussion of and request for approval of a memorandum of understanding between ECISD and Sol Ross University. Discussion of and request for approval of a resolution casting votes for the members of the Ector County Appraisal District Board of Directors. Among the items on the consent agenda are request for approval of a data sharing agreement between Course Mojo and ECISD, request for approval of Walsh, Gallegos, Kyle Robinson, and Rawlson PC Special Education Legal Services Retainer. Under information items, there is an added bus driver recruitment and retention stipend. New council will be sworn in Tuesday by Kim Smith. It's been a wild couple of weeks following an election sweep locally. Incumbents Mayor Javier Hoven and council members Denise Swanner and Mark Mata were shown the door by voters. Mayor-elect Cal Hendrick and councilmen-elect Craig Stoker and Eddie Mitchell will be sworn in during a public ceremony at 4 p.m. Tuesday at the Ector Theater. The current council will meet one last time Monday at 3 p.m. to certify the election. Monday's agenda is a simple one, unlike Tuesday's meeting, where ousted council members sought to pay out more than $700,000 to Odessa's city manager, who resigned during the meeting. Ector County District Court Judge Lori Ruiz Crutcher signed a temporary restraining order Wednesday morning, preventing the city from paying out the contracts of City Attorney Dan Jones, former City Manager John Beckmeyer, City Secretary Norma Aguilar, or Deputy City Manager Gabby Bernal. The TRO does not prohibit the city from firing them. On Tuesday night, Beckmeyer resigned, and Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan rushed to court to file for the TRO and to ask a judge to determine if Beckmeyer, Jones, Aguilar, and Bernal's contracts were even legal. Each of the three-year contracts issued in April states the foursome should be paid the remainder of their contracts should they leave before April 2027, whether they're fired or quit on their own. City residents also learned recently that Bernal is being investigated internally for possible wrongdoing, and Gallivan has been asked to request a Texas Rangers investigation into former Equipment Services Director Chris Adams and his use of a city-issued purchase card. Beckmeyer fired Adams Monday, and it came out that Adams had filed a grievance with the city October 14th, alleging Bernal forced him to award a tire contract to Forrest Brothers and to reduce the value of vehicles later donated to Odessa's sister city in Mexico. Agapito has created a hostile work environment for myself and my employees. He is a bully and a cancer. He relies on the people he placed in key positions as interim city manager to help maintain control over employees and the city, Adams wrote in his grievance letter. I and my employees currently feel our jobs are threatened. Many city employees are afraid to come forward against Agapito as they know that they will retaliate against them. An open records request filed by the Odessa American October 9th, requesting all human resource complaints filed against Bernal, is still pending. Jones sent a letter to the Texas Attorney General's office arguing that the release of the documents could impede any investigations into his actions. Jennifer Rainier, Public Information Coordinator for the City of Odessa, said Human Resources indicated Adams did not file any complaints. Back to the Golden Parachutes. Jones told the Odessa American that it was Hovind's idea for the three-year contracts and even said Beckmeyer's contract is worthless. He said that during the April meeting, where the contracts were approved, Swanner didn't use the word contract when discussing Beckmeyer's contract. Beckmeyer's annual salary was $250,000. Jones is $215,000, and Aguilar's is $135,000. Bernal's annual salary is $208,000. Jones also wrote an email at 1:44 a.m. Wednesday telling Bernal that although the city council had voted 5-1 to name Bernal interim city manager Tuesday night, Bernal could not perform any actions as such until he accepted the position. He also instructed Bernal not to pay out Beckmeyer's contract. Bernal eventually turned down the promotion. Hovind denied being behind the contracts and instead said they were Jones' idea. After the contracts were approved, City Council members Steve Thompson and Gilbert Vasquez said no one, including Jones, had told them they were approving new contracts. They thought they were only approving pay raises. Hendrick, Stoker, Mitchell, and Thompson, who was reelected by voters November 5th, were originally scheduled to be sworn in November 26th, but they moved it up to Tuesday. Once sworn in, Hendrick said he intends to ask the council to review all the former council's recent decisions. He also wants to look into Adams' allegations. Hendrick said he questions why the city would donate vehicles to a city in Mexico rather than another city in West Texas. "You know there are some cities that are probably not as wealthy as ours," Hendrick said. Since the election, Hendrick said he has received numerous phone calls from city employees lodging complaints, including one so serious he referred the woman to Gallivan. Friday, misdemeanor warrants were issued for Parks and Recreation Director Max Reyes for official oppression and indecent assault for an alleged incident involving a woman who had hoped to transfer to the Parks and Recreation Department. Rumors Thursday swirled that the current council would use the final Monday meeting to fire Jones after he did not move fast enough Wednesday to pay out Beckmeyer, who is a friend and political ally of Swanner, Hovind, and Mata. But the agenda does not note any personal issues. Thompson has been at odds with the trio since they took over the majority control of the council 2 years ago, and Thursday night he said he believes Hovind, Mata, and Swanner are using Jones as a scapegoat. "I believe Dan is a good guy, a good person. I'm not sure he has all of the experience he needs to be a city attorney. However, that said, he works hard and he tells the truth as far as I know. And before I'd want to replace him, I'd give him some time and let the new council evaluate his performance," Thompson said. Mitchell said he has no interest in rehiring Jones if he is fired. "I don't want to rehire anybody that had anything to do with what we just had," Mitchell said. "If you were already in the system and were doing bad, then you're going to keep doing bad. So I don't have a vote for anybody that's got one of them contracts." Stoker isn't interested in saving Jones' job either. "I don't think he's displayed much competence as a city attorney, and he certainly has not protected his charges as he works for all city council members," Stoker said. "Jones allowed Vasquez and Thompson to sign the three-year contracts," Stoker said. Jones also didn't object when the council allowed Beckmeyer to sign a contract with the Texas Government Accountability Association, a nonprofit group that promised to help the city in its efforts to be transparent and ethical by creating policies and procedures, Stoker said. The open-ended agreement is $24,000 a year for years 2 through 5 and can increase at that time. In addition, it can only be ended if it's placed on a ballot and residents vote to do so. What happened with Beckmeyer almost walking away with $700,000 highlights the shadiness and backstabbing nature of Swanner, Hoven, and Mata. These are not the actions that rational, ethical people take. The citizens of Odessa spoke November 5th and said, "We are tired of this. We are ready for competent people to be in the roles." And Mr. Jones was definitely on the list of people that I wanted to reevaluate, Stoker said. Residents also recently learned that Matt Coday, president of the Oil and Gas Workers Association, has filed a $25 million lawsuit against the city of Odessa, Beckmeyer, Swanner, and Hoven. According to the Odessa Police Department records obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act, Swanner, former Ector County Republican Chairwoman Tisha Crow, and Medical Center Hospital Board member Wallace Dunn filed a report with the police department in November 2022, accusing Coday of harassing them at council meetings and on social media. Crow told police she saw a Ford F-250 in front of her residence November 15th, 2022, and when she ran the license plate using her insurance company computer, it came back to Coday. Crow and her husband, Chris, own a farmer's insurance branch. Police determined no crimes had been committed by Coday. Then last December, an unknown person texted OPD Police Chief Michael Gerke, asking for someone to investigate a man for walking around in and out of houses in the Crow's neighborhood, and supplied the chief with Coday's license plate number. Coday says he was in Andrews at the time, and again, police determined Coday had committed no crimes. March 21st, the AG ordered the city to release the name of the texter, and it turned out to be Hoven, a political ally of Swanner, and at that time, of the Crows. Coday and his former attorney, Bobby Bland, believed Hoven was guilty of abusing his powers as mayor and asked the Texas Rangers to investigate. They declined. In addition, the Texas Department of Insurance closed the investigation it launched into Tisha Crow without taking any action. Coday had filed a complaint against her, noting she told police she'd used her insurance company's computer to look up his license plate. Dunn filed a defamation lawsuit against Coday in August, and Coday is countersuing him. According to Hendrick and Thompson, the city of Odessa's insurance carrier is in the process of determining if its contract attorneys should defend the city, Beckmeyer, Hoven, and Swanner in the Coday lawsuit. If the insurance carrier opts not to defend them, the new city council and its lawyers will have to decide if the defendants were acting in the scope of their jobs and if they should be defended on the taxpayers' dime, Hendrick said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.